Hello and welcome to Nareit's REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bourke from Quito, and today we're talking about retail real estate with Hendel St. Juste, a longtime observer of the REIT market and a senior REIT analyst at Mizuho Americas. Hendel, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So I wanted to start by asking you about the general mood across the retail sector in 2019 and whether 2020 looks to repeat any of those trends.
Sure. One of my favorite topics, retail. I think that certainly has been a challenging sector for investors this year. You've seen quite a disparity in performance between the regional malls. We're down, I think, 10-12%, while the shopping centers have had a formidable run, up 20-ish percent, I believe. As you look at the tenants, there are and continue to be challenges from sales. We've seen a number of retailers over the past few weeks report rather weak sales, including today, I believe, was Hudson's Bay, but you've also heard from The Gap, Urban Outfitters, to name a few. And the picture isn't pretty and certainly doesn't inspire confidence on, you know, the store closure picture for next year, because a lot of retailers will wake up early next year and assess how the holiday shopping period has performed, and that will be part of their store opening and store closing decision process. So when you think about, you know, the other dynamics impacting this holiday shopping season, obviously Amazon continues to pour more money into advertising. Black Friday has been pulled up. Used to just be on a Friday years ago, and now it seems as though the sale starts the week before, so extending that period. And the holiday shopping period this year is even tighter because Thanksgiving falling 1 week later on the calendar. So not a great setup in terms of holiday sales, holiday shopping season. But then there's also lots of uncertainty with key tenants heading into next year, Forever 21 being on the top of that list as well. So, you know, from where we sit, we continue to be cautious on the malls in particular. They have more headwinds in that, you know, not only are you dealing with, you know, apparel, but you also have a number of department store risks, Macy's, JCPenney, likely closing more stores in 2020 as well. So what works next year? Well, can shopping centers have another year where, you know, you see names like Brixmore, Kimco up 40%+? Hard to see that given what appears to be relatively tepid earnings growth outlooks for next year, but certainly a low rates, lower multiples can help. And as long as the economy stays on good footing, I think, you know, you can find some downside support for this sector. Malls, people ask me a lot, what's it going to take for malls to break out of the funk? Is 2020 that year? Look, I think Simon is the most investable company in that space. We do see an inflection coming in the back half of next year from their sizable expanded redevelopment pipeline that begins to bear fruit, which is to help their growth profile into 2021. But we've been telling folks, wait until the spring, you know, maybe March, when you have a better sense of not only the holiday shopping period, but the store closure picture, and then the guidance outlooks from not only the operators, from the tenants themselves, but there remains challenges, let's call them, and all else equal, we tell folks, triple net if you're looking for retail exposure. We think there's the best risk-adjusted returns through the single tenant side. So,
great. And then we often hear about grocery anchored retail and how internet resistant that sector is. Do you feel the same way?
It continues to be the case, and you know, we speaking to a lot of our shopping center REITs. You know, they have focused on healthier grocers. And so I think that it's hard to imagine a world in 5 years where the internet or more grocery shopping hasn't migrated to the internet. You see, you know, the Fresh Direct of the world where folks are getting more comfortable with delivery to their home. But, you know, the grocers are employing click and collect models as well, where you can pick up your groceries at the store, order them online and pick them up at the store. And so they're adapting, they're evolving their business models to help meet some of the changing habits of the consumer. And then also I think that, you know, with the grocers being located in neighborhoods where there's density, I think there is relevance for a lot of grocer groceries over the next decade or so. But again, I think it's hard to imagine we'll have the same number of grocery stores in this country 10 years from now. But again, the REITs have been more focused on better located assets, but also healthier grocers, including the Whole Foods, including the Publix of the world.
And do you see this gap between the well-located retail assets and the less well-located assets? Do you see that gap getting bigger going forward?
I think so. I think so. And I think you've seen it in the habits of the companies themselves. They've been culling from the bottom of their portfolios, culling from certain metros or parts of the country where there's less economic vibrance. I hate to pick on the Midwest, but you've seen a lot of net selling out of the Midwest, and as companies cull their portfolios, they've been reinvesting that capital into their better located assets, making those assets larger and better. And in some cases, they're adding non-retail uses. We've seen the Brixmor, Kimco's of the world adding more apartment as well as restaurants, some cases even office to their portfolio. So I think increasingly diversifying your cash flow away from retail in a world where we understand that there is too much retail in the U.S. E-commerce is gaining share, and so I think that over time, identifying the best, highest and best use for some of the space in their portfolio involves a little adding a bit more non-retail.
And given all this uncertainty you're talking about, is there a potential for M&A in retail in 2020?
That's a great question. I think that when you look on paper, there's enough disparity in the multiples to support M&A in many cases, but I think it's important to understand the motivation of a number of the companies. So when you're thinking about some of the lower multiple names, like a Brixmor, like a Kimco, they've been focusing on improving their portfolio quality by being net sellers the last couple of years, and again, redeploying some of that capital into making their existing better assets even better. And so the idea of going out, buying another company in bulk, and perhaps taking a step or two back in asset quality is not something at the top of their list. Neither is it for some of the higher quality, higher multiple names like Federal and Regency. So I think that there are too many shopping center REITs. So, and again, on paper, the numbers would support that you can do some accretive or economic M&A deals, but understanding the motivation of these companies, one, wanting to get smaller in many cases, two, in number of assets, but smaller number of assets, but greater cash flows from those assets. So while you're shrinking the number of assets, I think that your overall cash flows won't change too dramatically. But two, you're wanting to, cull from the bottom some of the lower quality assets from your own portfolio and opportunistically acquire good quality assets that are equal to or maybe even better than the overall quality of your existing portfolio is more their focus. So I think M&A, again, on paper makes sense, but I think that the companies, given in some cases, the desire to focus on fewer, better quality, more durable assets, and then watching the marketplace. We're getting the sense that there should be more shopping center assets available in the marketplace over the next year or two. And why we say that is because there are a number of institutions looking to decrease their retail exposure. And while they can't sell regional malls, there's really not a liquid market for large malls in this country. They've been redlined by private equity and just eschewed by a number of other investors. And so selling shopping centers, a lot easier, a lot more liquid market. So I think that's an area where you can see more transactions, public companies scooping up more assets as institutions free them up. And so I think that's more the focus for these companies, getting better and being selective in what they acquire and not just doing M&A for the sake of getting bigger.
Okay. And then finally, what are some of the other trends or developments that you think you'll be keeping an eye on in 2020?
That's another good question. Certainly, I think we'll continue to see an active redevelopment story across the retail landscape, again, as companies position their portfolios for the new paradigm. So not only focusing on better quality locations, but reinvesting capital into better assets, making them even stronger. And then I think, you know, just this idea that, you know, the marketplace will have more opportunities. And so these companies have been fixing balance sheets for a number of years, a number of balance sheets across the sector in very good places. We, you know, could maybe should see a little bit more deleveraging in a few names, but I think being in a position to potentially tap the equity markets, given how well the shopping centers themselves have done to acquire some assets, is something that we'll be looking at. In the mall space, you know, what is 2020 going to bring? Are we going to see a reacceleration from this year's acceleration, or will we start normalizing back down in terms of store closures, which I think is going to be critical to the mall's performance next year, how people perceive the risk of store closures and the impact on 2020 earnings growth will be. So I think those are some of the areas that we're watching on, as well as the macro, you know, as we look at the interest rate picture, what happens next in the geopolitical and with the 2020 elections approaching, certainly all items that we think can and probably will have an impact on the broader equity markets. And we see REITs as a safe haven. So I think the REIT sector overall benefits from any uncertainty on a macro level. The U.S., I think, is a net winner globally. REITs are a net winner, I think, amongst the U.S. Investment landscape. Are retail stocks going to participate in that is the key question. And I think right now, you know, malls, it's hard to see them outperforming next year. Shopping centers have a chance to do relatively well. But again, we think triple net is still the best risk-adjusted way to play retail, in our view.
Okay, great. Hendel, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed the REIT report, you can subscribe or leave a review on iTunes. And for more information on REITs, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.